Hello, everybody. I'm Banana Hannah Fofana, and I'm here answering my AMA from GWA Backstage. With me is my dear friend. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hello, GWA Backstage. I am L4 Lobo. It's the easiest way to go about it. Known Hannah for, what, like 6 years now?
Really long time. He used to slum it in my living room and drive me around all the time at crazy hours of night. He's my good buddy. And for people who know me in real life, he knows much more about my perverted self than, like, anybody else. So I figured that he would make this a lot more entertaining, in part because he knows me very well, and in part because AMAs are so much more fun when there is a conversation going on. So he's here to help me. Are you ready,
Lobo? Ready as I'll ever be. You ready?
I am ready. Let's go.
All right. So we'll just start off from the top. So user Belgario Nofriva, I think that's how you say that, starts out with girl or guy on top?
Well, Garion, it has to be the guy on top, doesn't it? I don't mind being on top. It's fun. But it's more like, I used to, like, my earliest, very, very earliest sex fantasies were all about, like, I used to just fantasize about being crushed under the weight of someone.
Hmm.
Like, there wasn't even sex. It was just the weight on top of me. So I think it has to be the guy on top. What about you, Lobo? Girl or guy?
I mean, it works either way in my experience. I've actually found that the biggest problem I had when doing it when I was on bottom was, like, I would actually occasionally have my dick pop out, and it was kind of like a pain to get it back in properly. So I always thought it was, like, more difficult to do properly, which was kind of annoying.
Hmm.
But, I mean, I'm not picky realistically, so.
I've actually had that problem more the other way.
Really?
Yeah, when the guy is on top, it pops out more in my experience, because the guys are trying to get interesting angles, but they don't know how to aim their own dicks.
Honestly, it's a lot harder than you think it would be. I mostly found that the issue is, like, it gets hard, and then it goes, like, straight vertical instead of out. And it's just, like, at that point, I'm like, wait, this is not as easy as I was hoping it was going to be.
Huh. It has never occurred to me that the angle of vaginas makes less sense. Or, like, that it was a... Oh, my goodness. That had never occurred to me. Thanks, Lobo.
You're welcome. I try.
Okay, next.
So they continue on, or if you had a penis for a day, what would you do and why?
Okay, Garion. So, if you know this individual, he's a little punk. This is, like, the easiest question I can ever imagine being asked. The answer comes in two parts. It comes in two parts. Ayo. First, I would pee standing up. I would drink water all day so that I could pee standing up. I still go hiking a lot, and I go hiking off trail a fair bit. Mm. And there is nothing that I am so jealous of men for as their ability to pee standing up.
It's not underrated in a lot of scenarios, honestly.
It's so not fair. Like,
I've done that when I've been, like, working fires, and somebody just has to pee, so we'll just pull to the side of the road. Dude doesn't even, like, walk away from the truck. He'll walk to the back bumper on the side that's, like, on the edge of the road, and he'll just piss there. Like, nobody cares.
Yeah, it's so not fair, because, like, I've been in situations where I was in, like, flat country, no trees. I had to go walk for 10 minutes to find somewhere where there was enough of a lump in the ground that if I squatted down really low, nobody could see my ass crack.
Ooh, yeah.
Right? It's such a pain. So the first thing I would do was drink a lot of water and pee standing up as much as I could. The second thing I would do is rub my dick on everything. Right? Like, jerk off, obviously, but, like, what does a penis feel like against a doorknob? Or, like...
See, you scare me because, quite honestly, I don't know what that feels like.
Well, get on it! Why don't you know what that feels like?
Because my penis is attached to my balls and they're very fragile.
Oh, but I mean, what's a doorknob gonna do? At the very worst, it's gonna be, like, cold, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those, like, you get hit, like, once in the balls and it really sucks. And then it happens again for something else and you're just always just so scared because, dear God, it's painful. I don't know why, but it is.
Huh. So maybe I would hit myself in the balls too, just to understand what it feels like.
That's fair. I mean, I don't recommend that personally, but if that's what you're feeling, go for it.
Well, right, but if I only have one chance.
Also true, yeah.
I would probably, like, man, I would do all the stuff. I would, like, drip candle wax on it. Like, I would, like, see how many times I could jerk off.
Ooh.
I would taste myself.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, yeah, admittedly, if, like, I had a vagina, I'd probably just, like, stick stuff up a bit to see what it felt like, let's be honest.
Right.
Like, I'd just be sitting there, just look around and be like, well, this is pretty clean, let's wash it off a little. Well, that
feels clean. Dude, I've put some outrageous things up my vagina.
Oh, I know what to do. If I get a vagina, it's like, test out your true feeling of a micro penis and stick, like, a chapstick tube up there. See if you actually notice.
Okay, next question.
Final part of this person's is, will you lend me a kidney? I can't say when you'll get it back, but I really need it. It's for science.
Yeah, dude, come give me $1 million and I'll lend you my kidney. And then when you give it back, I will collect some serious interest on that.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So, going on to fluctuations are good one. Hey, Hannah, it's your biggest Danish fanboy here. Shout out to the Danes.
Woo!
Danish pancakes are the greatest thing in existence. So there's no discussion at all that you have an amazing voice, which made me wonder, do you sing?
Aww.
If yes, what do you sing? If no, please start singing. Keep up being awesome.
Okay, so fluctuations, you're like the nicest person that has ever existed, ever. This is I told you about my Danish experimental punk rock.
Yes. Which, yeah, I've listened to, that is super awesome, by the way.
Yeah, so that's who this is.
Okay,
gotcha. He's way too nice. He's so freaking nice. So, Lobo here can answer this. Do I sing?
Yes, you do, and she is a pretty darn good singer, in my opinion.
I think my singing voice is really hit or miss.
Yeah, but I feel like that's true for a lot of people who aren't, like, dedicated to really trying to be really good singers and don't do vocal training or anything like that, so.
Yeah. Fluctuations gave me a song that he wanted me to sing, and I'm going to do that on a separate little thing. There are also some songs, actually, on my Soundgasm. If you go and look, there's a few that I was, like, dancing around the kitchen and decided to sing some Hozier or, like, Shakira.
Ooh.
They're not too great because the one of the Shakira ones, I, like, completely lost it and I was just giggling trying to make Shakira noises. So that was a hot mess.
But I think that's the appropriate way to do that. Like, if you're not into it that much, you're doing it wrong.
Right? But, okay, so what's a 15-second thing that I could sing right now?
Oh, gosh. I'm brain farting. I don't know anything good.
On the spot, go. Name a Disney song.
Oh, just a Disney song? Do you know Everybody Wants to Be a Cat?
I actually don't.
Oh, no, it's my favorite Disney song of all time. Oh, I love that one. That's actually, like, the one that I actually sound good singing, so.
Well, what was it? Yesterday it was Colors of the Wind.
Yeah, that was
right?
The one I think I sang.
I'll do the first verse of that. You think you own whatever land you land on. The earth is just a dead thing you can claim. But I know every rock and tree and creature has a life, has a spirit, has a name. You think the only people who are people who look and think like you. But if you walk the footsteps of a stranger, you'll learn things you never knew, you never knew. And that's where I forget the words.
And that's where it goes into the chorus, you know. Have you ever heard a wolf cry to the blue corn moon?
Corn moon.
Or ask a grinning bobcat why he grins? Can you sing with all the voices of the mountain? Can you paint with all the colors of the wind?
Do you remember that time that we were really bored, so we just decided to watch Sound of Music?
Oh my god. Yes, that was so good.
We were like singing along with Maria von Trapp.
Oh my gosh, that was the
in an actual like slumlord apartment.
Oh, do you remember like one of our last nights when I was still in that apartment, and we just like went and watched a bunch of like clips from Mel Brooks movies, like
oh my god.
And I just remember seeing the world part one, The Inquisition. What a
the show. Inquisition. We are the men in tights.
Oh god, I'd almost forgotten about that, honestly.
Man, why don't you come down and visit me?
I need to. I really need to.
Okay. That's right, we went on like a serious Mel Brooks marathon. Yeah. I forgot about that. All right.
Next question. All right, starting off, Toaster Parade has several. So, Banana Hannah, I gotta ask, what's your favorite fruit? Pretty obvious, this one.
Actually, bananas are only my second favorite fruit.
Scandal.
And, right? And not for the reason that, well, hang on. So the reason I like bananas, there are two reasons. First, like, you know, the super obvious one, because we're a bunch of perverts here.
Right. The classical reason.
Because, yeah, the correct banana is an excellent dildo, and then afterwards, you get a wonderful, refreshing snack. But the reason I actually like bananas is that they're, like, excellent hiking food.
Oh, this is very true.
Yeah, I like the taste of them, and I like that if you're, like, I don't have a terribly reliable stomach. Like, I get sick to my stomach a lot, or I get, like, weird digestive stuff, and bananas are really, really good for that. My actual favorite fruit, however, is grapes.
Ooh.
Because, first of all, grape juice is delicious.
Oh, yeah.
But there's something very sensual about grapes. I had a wonderful experience where one of the very, very first times I was ever being dommed, or I was ever supping, we had grapes, and I was ordered to squeeze one over my nipple, over my breast, just like squeeze it and make all the juice and the guts come squishing out. And it fell in such a way that I will always remember the way that he said this. He said it looked just like a lovely piece of cum on my nipple. Mm. Very, very sexy fruit.
Well, that's okay.
Well.
When you have something like that happen, I can understand why it's your favorite fruit.
Yeah, it's just a positive association. I have a lot of positive associations with grapes, though.
That's good.
I really enjoy them.
I just generally have positive associations with fruit.
Yeah, I have a lot of positive... I have a lot of positive associations with fruit as well.
I don't think mine are necessarily in the same vein as yours, but...
What? You mean you don't have sex all the time that involves fruit?
No. I'm sorry, I'm boring. Like,
see, this is the other reason you should come visit me, so that I can get you laid.
Yeah, actually, though. Excuse me while I cry in my corner over here.
Aww. It won't be soon. It won't be long.
Yeah.
It'll be awesome.
Oh, jeez. Let's see. Moving on, Toaster Parade next asks, have you ever physically assaulted someone?
Nope. I am a super not violent person. The closest I've ever really gotten to assaulting anything was in high school, somebody called me something very, very, very bad. And I was really, like, I don't get angry almost ever, but I got very, very angry. And it was in PE. So I, like, left PE early. I was such a goody-goody. I never did stuff like this. I left PE early. I just walked out. And I was getting changed back in the locker room, and I slammed the locker shut really, really hard. Ooh. And that is as close as I've ever gotten to physically assaulting someone.
Yeah. The closest I've ever gotten was actually cracking a racket frame by smashing it onto a court. I'm glad I don't do that. It's expensive.
Yeah. Bad sportsmanship drives me crazy.
Yeah.
That's like when because I used to do fencing a lot.
Oh, right.
And
right.
Nothing in fencing annoys me like somebody who's a bad sportsman.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, grow up. Everybody loses touches.
Yeah, it happens. Nobody's perfect.
I should say, where it comes to physical assault, I do like sporting sword fighting. So I guess that's probably pretty close, but it's, you know, it's different. It's athletic.
Yeah.
It's for the artistry and the exercise, not because I'm assaulting someone.
Yeah, that's just a bonus.
Yep. I did get assaulted doing that once. My very good friend who I used to practice with a lot, he kind of goes out of control sometimes, and he, like, forgets that fencing has rules. So one time we were locked corps, which is where the two swords are crossed at the hilt, and you're kind of, like, pressed up into each other.
Right.
And I think he just kind of, like, saw red for a second, and he, like, bum-rushed me and, like, shoved me onto my back. It's like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah. That's, I don't think that's part of fencing.
No, it's not. Okay. What's next?
All right. They continue on. If you could replace your parts with their equivalent from an animal of your choice, or no equivalents at all, what parts would they be and why?
Okay. So, my answer to this, and I didn't even need to do research to answer this, okay. I actually knew my answer, is a little bit horrific, so bear with me. The reproductive system of mallard ducks is in equal parts awesome and horrifying. So ducks procreate almost exclusively by rape, which is the horrifying bit, right? But like so many animals, like cats reproduce with rape, right? Cats have barbed penises. Mm-hmm. Like, in case you didn't already think cats were dicks, they have barbed penises. but so ducks, male ducks, have really ridiculously long penises, like twice their own body length, ridiculously long penises. Nice. And they are corkscrewed. Not corkscrewed like a dog. Oh no, substantially more corkscrewed than a dog's.
Oh dear.
And they, you know, they go for it in the lady ducks. Now the lady ducks' vaginas are corkscrew vaginas, but they're corkscrew the other way, like to prevent rape.
Oh.
They're like reverse corkscrewed. And they have like fake side chambers. There are like decoy vaginas inside the duck vagina to get the rapey penis lost.
That's actually amazing.
Yeah, like nature is fucked up.
It is. It really is.
So, as far as like interesting vaginas go that have cool features, I think ducks win.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, in terms of nature being fucked up, I still think bedbug reproduction might win, but...
Tell me about bedbug reproduction.
So, bedbugs are really fucked up, and so males impregnate females by a process known as traumatic insemination. Basically, a male bedbug's penis is actually basically just a spike, and he penetrates a female's abdomen. There's like no vagina, just basically stabs her in the gut and then injects genetic material into her bloodstream and hopes that it like passes on to the egg she's gonna lay.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's Like,
that's not very nice.
Well, and the worst thing is, like, multiple males can do it before she technically lays eggs. So, like, some females who've laid a lot will just have ridiculous scarring all over their abdomen because they've just been, like, you know, stabbed by penises a bunch of times.
And these are bedbugs, you said?
Yes.
Ugh. And bedbugs aren't even appealing.
Yeah, I know. Which makes it even worse.
Because, like, dung beetles reproduce kind of weirdly, but dung beetles are also, like, if you ignore the poop part, they're really cute.
Yeah, this is true.
Because they're, like, cute, poop-loving beetle couples. I can't remember how I know this, but I feel like it is the case. Yes. Okay, moving on.
So say you have two sets of sexy upper bits or sexy lower bits. How would you use this gift to your advantage?
Wait, what?
So say you have two sets of sexy upper bits or sexy lower bits. How would you use this gift to your advantage?
If I had... I don't
so
remember.
So you have
this
a reply
question.
On this about you're asking if you could choose...
Oh, no, yeah, so this was... Yeah, so this is if I could choose to either have four breasts or two vaginas, which one would I pick? So first of all, the obvious answer to me is that I would have two vaginas. Mm. Because, first of all, that makes everything more even. But second of all, because boobs are like, ugh. Boobs already require so much maintenance, and they're really visible, and like, four boobs would be so much back strain.
Yeah. Unless they balance out by, like, being on your back.
Ugh.
But I'm not even
then
sure
you'd never be able to sit.
That's true.
Like, you would not be able to sit in a chair.
Would be difficult in that scenario.
Hmm?
I feel like bras would be super difficult in that scenario.
Yeah. Ugh. And I have, like, pretty big boobs. It would just be a giant pain.
Yeah.
So, two vaginas is the answer. So then when I was thinking about this, I was wondering, like, would they be, like, two vaginas that are vertical next to each other? Or would they be, like, vertical one on top of the other? Or would they be, like, horizontal?
Ooh.
Right? And would they be horizontal the same way? Or would they be, like, backflipped?
Oh, man.
I was thinking about... Anyway, sorry. And then I was trying to figure out how this would work. I think I decided that they would be... vertical next to each other at the same current orientation.
Okay.
Right? So, like, clitoris to the front.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. And how would I use this to my advantage?
Yeah.
All the dildos.
And by
dude.
That, you mean bananas.
And cucumbers and carrots. And corn. I've put corn on the cob of vagina before. Just like all the phallic fruits and vegetables.
Did it come out as popcorn?
Why would it come out as popcorn?
I don't know. I just thought I'd ask. I want to be sure.
Pussy popcorn. It would be pussy flavored popcorn.
Can you imagine how well that would sell, though?
Can you imagine all the guys at the store, all the, like, the douchebags being like, oh my god, it's like sardines.
Oh god, now I want this to be a thing.
Oh, no. Because you would have, like, half the guys would be like, oh, it's sardines, and then there would be a bunch of middle-aged guys who are like, no, it's ambrosia.
Oh god.
Oy, oy, oy. Oi, oi, gavolt.
Pretty much.
All right. Next question.
So, last one from Toaster Parade is Rebel Alliance or Galactic Empire? What's your favorite vehicle, weapon, anything from that respective faction you've chosen, and why?
Right. Okay. So, there's a couple things here. I put in my post for this that I'm a Star Wars geek because this was right before May the 4th and I was on a serious Rebels kick.
Oh, hell yeah.
Plus, you know that I feel like we watch Star Wars. Anyway,
we probably do.
Okay, so first of all, you said Rebel Alliance or Galactic Empire. You're really limiting me to a really small time frame here.
I know. It's really annoying. Well, they have, like, or Bounty Hunters Guild or some other faction, but it's been crossed
out. Yeah. So, like, so first of all, if I were to pick a faction, like, any faction... Okay, you've limited me to, like, the first 20 years of the life of Luke Skywalker. That's what you've given me here. Maybe the first 25 years of the life of Luke Skywalker.
More or less, yeah.
And, like, really, the answer has to be the Rebels, right? It has to be, because it's more fun. If you had not limited me to a time frame, I would have said... I probably would have said Rebel Alliance in the time of Ezra, right? Oh, okay. So in the time of Rebels, which is between episodes
three and four, yeah.
Right? Or in the time frame leading up to Rogue One. I think I would really like to be a rebel because that was
I think that's the goal they're going for.
Yeah, I thought for a while about, because I was really thinking about these questions here. I was thinking about being, like, one of the smugglers, being a thug with the Hutts, and that would be, but the thing is, like, that's too scary, and, like, frankly, I'm a pretty politically involved person anyway, and I don't think that I would be satisfied in such a situation if I were just a gangster.
That's fair.
And obviously, in that position, in the Rebel Alliance, the best weapon is obviously a lightsaber. Realizing that not everybody really gets a lightsaber, I then have to move to the best ship, because blasters are boring. I'm a speed demon, right? Like... Mm-hmm. I really enjoy driving. I really enjoy, like the mind game of finding the best way to get through a certain situation. I think I would be a fighter pilot. And I think the best fighter ship is the X-Wings. I don't like Y-Wings very much.
Yeah, but you could get an A-Wing. A-Wings are faster.
I could get an A... Oh, they are faster!
Because A-Wings are technically interceptors, and X-Wings are more like bulky all-purpose fighters.
Yeah. Oh, man. See, this is why I keep you around.
I'm good for knowledge of Star Wars.
You really are. Yeah, that's got to be the answer then, isn't it? A-Wings.
Yeah.
Ah, that's thanks, true. Man. That's so cool. There you are. Rebel Alliance, A-Wings.
Seems pretty reasonable.
Yep. Next question.
All right, so Quijana? I'm not really sure how to say that, but please count to 10 in the 5 languages that you know.
Okay, so here's a question. What are the 5 languages that you think I can count to 10 in?
Me?
Yep.
Let's see. I'm going to guess English, Hebrew, probably Spanish.
All 3 of those were correct.
Well, those are the ones I'm like 90% positive you knew. Beyond that, yeah. I have no idea.
All right, so I'll do those 3.
Actually, do you know Latin?
I do know Latin. That was number 4.
Okay.
I don't think you're gonna guess the 5th one because it's a development as of the last few months.
Oh, what is it?
I'll tell you when I do the other 4. Okay. So in English, I can say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. A round of applause, if you will. Ah. Thank you very much. Thank you, Lobo. In Spanish, it is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Which is very, very similar, thank you, to the Latin, which is in classical Latin, not Catholic Renaissance Latin, classical Latin. It's unus, duo, tres, quator, quinque, sex, septum, octo, noem, decem. Hebrew. It is echad, shtein, shalosh, arma, chamesh, shesh, sheva, shmone, tesha, ese. The fifth language, and I know it, but it's not going to sound great, is Mandarin.
Oh.
The reason it's not going to sound great is because I am terrible at making tones. I'm pretty good at hearing tones. I'm really, really bad at making them. So, E R San Su Wo Liu Ji Ba Jo Shi.
Wow.
Is very counting impressive. To 10 in Mandarin.
That's
not that impressive.
Three more languages you can count to 10 in than I can.
All right, next.
Quijana also asks, if you could learn another language, what would it be and why?
Oh, goodness. So, probably. Either I would really like to properly learn a tonal language, something like Mandarin. Just because Mandarin is, like, it's got to be so useful. Right?
Yeah.
Or, like, so many people in the world speak Mandarin, it would be so useful to speak it. Or it would be, like, German, I think. Because German has exciting grammar. By exciting grammar, I mean German has case. And I think that case is the greatest thing ever, basically. I wish that English had a useful version of case. Which we haven't for, like, 800 years. Case is when a word changes depending on what it does in the sentence, right? Oh, so there are very, very few examples of this left in English. The best is whether you're talking about I or me depends on whether it's the subject or the object of saying of the sentence, right? So you, but you see me.
Right.
Use a different word depending on the point in the sentence, right? So if I were to say me see you, that, like, doesn't make sense.
It's not right, yeah.
It's not right. Languages with case are absolutely fantastic. That's why I like Latin so much. And I would really like to learn German. Oh. Also because I think it would be a useful language.
Yeah, I could see German being useful.
Yeah. Germany is a pretty cool country these days.
So I've heard.
So I've heard. Next.
So Trees Gua has several questions. Says, hey, Banana Hannah Fofana, what's your favorite month of the year and why?
Oh, November. Because I like winter a lot. I like fall and winter a lot. November is right on the edge there. And it has, like, the weather is just starting to cool off. For real. October, it kind of cools off, but not really. November is when the weather is really cooling off. And because November has Thanksgiving, which is my favorite holiday.
That's pretty fair.
November is absolutely the best month. What next?
Wine, spirits, or ale?
I don't know. So in truth, I don't really like alcohol that much. Because it's, like, expensive, and it's calories that you forget you're consuming, and then you wake up with a hangover.
Yeah.
Which are, like, three good reasons not to drink. If I had to pick one, my single favorite alcoholic beverage is gin.
Okay.
But I like beer a fair bit. But I also like wine a fair bit. It's just, like, eh. I don't really have an answer to that. Sorry.
Dang it, let down.
Hannah sucks. So sad.
Indeed. So, what kind of cake would you have for your birthday?
What kind of cake? Cheesecake.
Ooh. Well, you can't just say cheesecake. Is there any specific
Why can't
kind of
I just
cheesecake?
Say cheesecake?
Well, is it like the, strawberry cheesecake? Just standard cheesecake?
The cheesecake.
Okay.
Like the cheesecake with fruit on top, I guess?
Okay, well, I mean, yeah.
But like not like syrupy fruit, just like chopped
just
up fruit.
Like actual like pieces of like a strawberry or something.
Yeah, like strawberry and blueberry and like, I think they put kiwi on top.
Ooh, that sounds so good.
Yeah, it is really good. I think, is it Costco? Maybe it's Trader Joe. No. I can't remember where it is. Somewhere I've gotten cheesecake that had kiwi, like kiwi and mango on top. Oh my god.
That sounds amazing.
It was really good. Okay.
Finally, Tree Squaw asks, what do you do when you can't fall asleep?
I masturbate.
That's fair.
I do a few things. I have a few, like... Sometimes I'll listen to a book on tape. So, okay, it depends on what kind of not being able to sleep it is, right? Because there's, like... I can't sleep because I'm just... I have so much energy. I'm so alive and awake. When that happens, I will go for a run occasionally. Mm. very occasionally. But it happens. I also don't often have that kind of trouble falling asleep. A lot of the times, if I just can't sleep, I'll masturbate. Or I will listen to a book on tape. Or I have some letters. I have some friends who have... written me letters, but instead of writing them, they record them out loud.
Oh, okay.
So I'll, like, listen to old letters from people, and those help me fall asleep.
Nice.
Or I will just watch something, like, I'll watch Netflix until I can't help it. Right?
Yeah.
Like, because sometimes when you try to stay awake, that's when you fall asleep.
Yeah.
Right? And trying to sleep just makes you stay awake. Which is full Mary Poppins, right? Stay awake, don't go to sleep.
So perfect.
I mean, that's how she does it. Yeah, Mary true. Poppins teaches the best life lessons. All right, what next?
All right, moving on. Pulsating Cloud says, "Hiya, Hannah. What is your favorite Star Wars film, and why is it Return of the Jedi?"
Okay. So, Return of the Jedi has my favorite moment from any Star Wars film. I think that we've talked about this before, haven't we?
We probably have, but I don't remember it very well, so...
Yeah, so there's a moment in the Hoth battle, or in the Battle of Hoth, where they're evacuating the transports. And they send up the transport with, like, two or three X-Wings. I think they're X-Wings. And then they shoot a few blasts of the ion cannon... to, like, make the Star Destroyers back off, and then all of the ships go into, light space? Light space? hyperspace. Goodness. Light speed, hyperspace. light space. That sounds like a BDSM term.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so there's a moment in Return of the Jedi in that fight. The first transport gets through. They go into hyperspace, and then it goes back into the base on the planet, mm-hmm. and everything is, like, chaos. Everybody's trying to get into ships. All the pilots are running around. Everybody's evacuating, and over the loudspeaker, somebody says, the first transport is away, the first transport is away, and this, like, great, like, cheer goes up over everybody.
Yeah.
All the people in the base, and every time that, like, it shivers down my back every time I see it.
Although, to be fair, that's actually in The Empire Strikes Back.
Is it The Empire? Wait. Yeah, I thought I was talking about The Empire. No, I thought I was talking about The Empire Strikes
Back. You said
Return
of the Jedi because this person asked a leading question about why your favorite movie should be Return of the Jedi.
Oh, why was I talking about Empire Strikes Back then? Because Return of the Jedi is my favorite movie.
I don't know.
Because everybody... I was just making assumptions. Holy shit, I'm so embarrassed. Because everybody always says that The Empire Strikes Back is the best movie. So, it's, like, not my favorite. Return of the Jedi is actually my favorite. I'm so embarrassed. Oh, my God.
I know, you said Battle of Hoth, and I was like, wait a minute.
Oh my, I can't believe I just did that. Oh my god, my face is like bright red right now. Oh my god. Okay. Like, actually, my face is bright red.
Yeah, it should be after that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. No, Return of the Jedi is actually my favorite Star Wars movie. Because Return of the Jedi nails it home that it's not actually about Luke, it's about Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And I always cry when Darth Vader dies. When Anakin dies, right? Because he's Anakin again.
Right.
That always... And the music at that part is so perfect. It's just the light. Dun, dun, dun.
God, John Williams is so good. Oh, my God.
Oh, he really is so good. Movie composers make a big difference. You can learn a lot when you pay attention to who composes movies. When you start actually listening. Oh, my God. I'm so embarrassed still. Can we move on?
Yes. Okay. Second question from Pulsating Clouds. What have you learned about yourself after contributing to Gone Wild Audio PTA?
Gone Wild Audio what?
Sorry, Gone Wild Audio / PTA. I'm not quite sure what that was.
Oh, Pillow Talk. Okay. I don't think I've contributed almost anything to Pillow Talk. I think I've posted like two things in there. What have I learned about myself?
Yes.
Well, first of all, that not everybody finds my voice really annoying. I have learned that I am gutsy. I have learned, not as like a direct result of posting on these places, but as a result of like this whole series of changes in my life. The last 6 months has been like Hannah's sexual revolution. And yeah, Lobo can confirm this. He hears all about it. Yeah, I'm sorry. You hear way too much about my sex life.
Oh, I don't care. It's irritating.
No, it's more like it's been a part of my whole revolution, my whole learning things about myself. So I've learned, for example, that I'm kinky as fuck. But mostly I think I've learned that I am gutsy. There's a phrase that I really like that I am getting ready to get tattooed on myself. I think in the next year I'm going to get this tattoo. And it is going to be in Hebrew. It's the words Ani Mochana, which means I am ready.
Oh, right. You told me about this.
Yeah. I am ready for anything because I can take it on, right? If I decide to take it on, I can, and I know that I can. And I know that I will, and I am what's holding me back. Which is so fucking cheesy to say out loud. But it's, like, it's true, right? Like, all it takes is deciding to do something, and I can do it. And that's been so closely tied lately to my sexual identity, all of this. And really, posting on GWA was, like, the first thing that really kicked me off.
Yeah.
Or it really, like, began... It pushed the ball bearing over the edge of the slide, I guess. If that makes sense.
The camel's back.
Yeah, except I don't feel like my back has been broken. It's more like... I'm free!
Yeah.
Free falling! It's more like that. I am not Tom Petty, so we're clear.
Neither am I. No, yeah, I play, like, depending on how you want to define instruments.
That's right, you play sax.
Yeah, I play saxophone, guitar, drum kit, bass. I can technically do an upright bass. I can do a couple different saxophones, general percussion stuff.
So cool.
It's fun.
How are you so cool?
My dad got me started when I was, like, 7.
Ah, so it is all genetic.
Well, also my dad's the guy who owns like a minimum of 15 guitars, a mandolin, an upright bass, a cajon, like all just kinds of random musical stuff.
Cool.
So,
yeah, I took guitar lessons as a kid, and the guy who taught me had a wall covered in different instruments.
Oh,
and
it.
You could point to one, and he would pick it up and play it at, like, the concerto level. Like, he was just absolutely amazing.
Oh, I bet.
On any instrument. Ugh. And he's a really nice guy. I still talk to him every now and then.
Nice.
Next question.
Let's see. Continuing on with Pulsating Clouds questions, explain to us all how you are a pervert.
Well.
This is gonna be good.
How I am a pervert? Like, the logistics of perversion? I don't know how to... I don't understand the question. I'm a pervert. I like weird, kinky sex. I like being in pain while I am being sexually stimulated. I don't know how to explain this. Help.
I mean, is it just... I feel like this is more of a question of, like, what are your perversions? Might have been a better way to word it.
What are my perversions?
I guess, like what's that weird stuff that turns you on that, like, the average vanilla person is going to be like, what the fuck, you need to go see a psychiatrist.
Okay. So there's a few things. First of all, I am a sexual masochist. Okay. And I am, like, not on the level where... not like, oh, spank me, ha ha ha, it's a punishment. No. I am a proper little masochist.
I like how you can be a proper masochist.
Yes, I am a proper good girl masochist. Lately, I've been, so first of all, I am submissive. And I have always been submissive. I think I knew starting when I was about 10 to 12 years old, that I was. I didn't have words for it for a really long time. I didn't, like, understand it. But looking back, I think that is absolutely the case.
Yeah.
So I get a lot of... less sexual, but also not sexual satisfaction from submissive things. So, recently I have been, I've been playing with somebody, BDSM playing, who, chained me to the wall, where we had been doing sexual things for some hours, and we reached a lull. So I had a dog collar around my neck, and he chained me by my neck to the wall, and I had to lay on the floor next to his bed and just lay there. I was, like, naked in wrist cuffs, and he was on his bed. This is pet play, I guess. I was basically just a kitten on the floor. And I was so deeply relaxed. There was this tremendous, overwhelming sense that my brain does not shut up. My brain is very busy. I have a lot going on. I keep track of a lot of things. I'm a very, I don't know how to explain this. I'm a very good facilitator. I'm very good at having people's, like, having needs and goals and ways to achieve them, and I kind of store them all in my brain, and then I'm constantly cycling through them.
Right.
So my brain doesn't shut up. That's part of the draw of masochism for me, is that when pain gets intense enough, pain becomes the focus, right? So it draws energy away from the wheel of thoughts that is never ending.
Okay.
but being the pet on the floor in a not sexual way was so deeply liberating. Being chained to the floor was liberating, is what I'm saying. As I had, there was no responsibility. And even if I had responsibility, there was nothing I could do about it. Right? Yeah. I didn't know what time it was. I had no responsibility for what time it was. Right? I had no response. Like, I just had to trust that he was in control of all of it. And that he would make the appropriate judgment call. And that is, as a sexual thing and as a not sexual thing, is like astonishing for me. I don't know if I'm really answering the question here.
It's informative either way. I'm gonna count it.
Okay. Like, how am I kinky? How am I perverted? I think one day. I think I will be a very, very happy person when I am every night chained to the bed by my master. Right?
Yeah, that's...
If that makes any sense.
I think that explains it pretty well.
Okay. Hooray! Next!
Let's see. What is your favorite dance to perform or would like to perform?
So, I got into belly dancing for a long time.
Oh, right.
And
right.
I have not...
That.
Yeah, you would remember that, wouldn't you? it's been a while, and I haven't kept up on it really well. That was an interesting miscall. It's been a while, and I haven't kept up on it very well, but I would really, really like to. I liked the way that I felt about myself when I was a dancer, when I was a belly dancer, and I liked... Well, I like the aesthetics in the kind of, like, I am a slave way. I would like to be a slave belly dancer. I think that would be really fun. But I do really love dancing, and I love the, like, get out of your mind, like, no artistry at all, just flailing random limbs. I think that's really fun, too.
See, now I just remember you playing that song in that dingy apartment and us watching the music video to it.
What song?
The Get Out of Your Mind.
Get out of your mind! Yeah.
It's just like the most nonsensically stupid video ever. We're both just
no, that was Turn Down for What?
Oh, no.
Turn Down for What? Okay, if you've never seen that music video, go look up the music video for Turn Down for What. First of all, it is like absolutely hysterical, true absurdism. But it's also kind of genius. It's just, it's a great, great, great thing. And it's a pretty fun song as well. But yeah, if I were to perform something, I would be a belly dancer. I would really like to learn ballroom dancing too. I'm just generally a fan of dancing. Yeah. I frequently will find myself doing the, are we human or are we dancers? I think we're dancers, not human. That's right, I said it. Boom. What else?
Last question from Pulsating Clouds. Explain like I'm 5 poetry meter.
Oh, right. Poetry meter. Let's go. So, poetry meter... As a concept, is rhythmic, where poetry. So modern poetry, or like the poetry that we think of when we think of poetry, most likely is very like whimsical and based on rhyme. Rhyme is what makes it poetry. That is very frequently not the case. There are other ways to make poetry. There are other ways to make it musical. Famously, this can be done with meter, where you're fitting syllables, you're fitting emphasis and syllables into a predetermined rhythm. So there's a post somewhere, I think I posted it backstage, and also on Poetry Reading, that's 20 minutes long of me reading through Catullus, I think it's 63, which is a very famous poem, because it is the only surviving poem that's done in a particular meter. This meter is called, oh my gosh, I can't remember what, Galiambic Pentameter. Phew! different meters kind of like accomplish different feelings. The Galiambic Pentameter was meant to sound kind of frenzied, kind of insane. So when you read it out loud in Latin, it sounds like this. And this is like a several page long poem that all fits this meter. It all sounds like this. And when you're reading it out loud and you're competent at reading it out loud, which I am not always, if you listen through this thing, there's a lot of me like cursing because I can't figure out the fucking meter. But if somebody is truly capable, the meter and the sound and the rhythm can really draw you into the story. So the first line of that poem is simulatque vectisatis celerira te Maria, right? Which, even if you don't know the words, just the rhythm can draw you in. That particular poem is like, the subject matter of it is absolutely nuts. It's about a guy who lands in Phrygia, which is a different name for Asia Minor, so Turkey.
Oh, okay.
And he is, upon arriving, he is bewitched by some local heathen goddess, and she like bewitches him into castrating himself. Oh. So like he becomes a woman and he enters this like frenzied state of insanity in worship of this goddess, and then he has a moment of clarity where he's like bemoaning all the things that can never happen again, and then he sinks back into this insanity. The poem, by the way, ends with one of my absolute favorite lines in any poem ever. It's alios agen quitatos, alios ager abidos, which is like, or there's like the whole sentence before that, but basically the last sentence is like, oh goddess, Dindimenai is her name, drive other men insane, right? Okay. It's like back the fuck off me, please, I don't deserve it. And it's from the poet, right? It's from whoever is reading the poem,
right?
So what meter really accomplishes, or what some meters are definitely intended to accomplish, like the Galiambic Pentameter, is to evoke a feeling in the listener. The listener, not the reader. Because some poems are meant to be read, and some are meant to be heard. Some are both. Right. But certainly if you're looking at classical poetry, it was never meant to be read. It was meant to be heard out loud. That's what we call oral history.
Right.
Right. So somebody later on in the AMA asks me about dactylic hexameter. Dactylic hexameter is a very, very common meter. It is less, like, rhythmic, less musical than the Galiambic. Dactylic hexameter is, each line has six pieces, and each piece is composed of either a long syllable and two short ones, or I should say like an emphasized and two non-emphasized syllables, or two emphasized syllables. And it has changed a little bit over time because those were easier to do in languages like Latin and Greek, where word order doesn't matter very much. It's really hard to do that in English because word order matters a lot.
Yeah.
So it's hard to... you have to make certain adjustments. So in English, essentially, all six syllables can be either or, whereas in Greek and Latin, they would do the first five syllables were all one long, two short, and then the last syllable, or the last chunk could be one or the other. but in English you kind of, you have to bend it a little bit because word order makes everything really fucking difficult. It really, really does. It really, really makes it a lot harder. But yeah, so the dactylic hexameter is really common. It's what Homer wrote in, right? The Iliad, the Odyssey, the Aeneid, which was Virgil, which was in Latin, right? Homer wrote in Greek, Virgil was Latin. And it was like the epic poetry thing. So it serves two purposes. First of all, it makes it more engaging to listen to. And second of all, it makes it easier for the person reading or reciting it to remember. Because if you have the meter ingrained in your head, it helps trigger things. It's like a tune, right? Or it's like trope in biblical Hebrew. It does the same thing. So yeah, hopefully that made any kind of sense. I really like poetry meter. I'm really fascinated by it. Yep. Sorry that you just listened to all that, Lobo.
Oh, no. I don't understand it, but it sounds cool, so.
Yeah, I'm a nerd.
You're the best kind.
Aw. No you.
No you.
Aw. How am I supposed to cope with this?
By answering more AMA questions, I think.
Okay, then ask me more AMA questions.
So I'm going to skip around a little bit since we were just talking about it. Frantic Tumble's first part of their questions was, can you answer all my questions in the dactylic hexameter?
Ah, Frantic Tumble. You made me work for this AMA. And you proposed marriage to me when I told you that I would do it. So if I don't get a marriage proposal out of this, I'm at least expecting some cheesecake with fruit on top.
Seems like a reasonable compromise.
Okay.
All right. So
also it's worth, I'm going to disclaim this a little bit by saying that it's hard. It was very difficult because I couldn't really go back and edit anything once it was written. So it's a little bit rambly, and I didn't perfectly answer the questions, but you can bet your ass it's in dactylic hexameter. It's an English dactylic hexameter. Okay. Taking an hour to answer your questions for me, Frantic Tumble. First of all, can I answer you only with this lovely meter? Dactylic hexameter can be a little hard to use correctly, but I am a glutton for punishment. Bring it on. Number two, do I know bananas are going extinct? Possibly? I know that some species already have, which is why banana-flavored candy tastes so different from the bananas we get from the store today. They are flavored like an extinct species of banana. Number three, describe my favorite vacation. Actually, this is a hard one when you think... Oh, hang on. Actually, this is a harder one than you think, Frantic, because I have gone to most of the places I'd really like to see. There are activities that I would enjoy more than that I enjoy more than others. Like hiking is one of my favorite things to do. When I visit a city, I purposely go get myself lost. I don't really know why, but I think it's because I enjoy the challenge of finding myself again. So my ideal vacation is probably back to the city of Edinburgh, where I have gotten so very lost and have really liked all of the strangers I met, who did awesome things. One in particular carried me piggyback to a bar after I sprained my ankle and felt very lonely, all stuck in the hostel. I'm rambling now. Editing meter is really hard, frantic friend. Finally, what is my favorite color? This is an easier question for me. Yes, this is... my handwriting is bad. This is an easier answer for me. I love all colors, but my favorite has to be burgundy or the spicy dark color of wine and blood. It's a sexy color, evoking my darker, more wanton side into my conscious thought. Wow. Boom. I will... I'll publish a picture of this because I have all the meter marks written out with it. So I'll send a picture of all this. Or I'll post a picture with the AMA for proof. That took so much more effort than you realize.
That was very impressive.
All right, I did it. You owe me at least a marriage proposal.
Or better yet, cheesecake.
Or better yet, cheesecake with fruit on top. Kiwi and mango. It's mango season. All right, what's next?
Let's see. Bifun69. I just want you to try to count to 10 in a language you don't know.
All right, Lobo. Give me a language.
Let's see.
Gonna Google this shit.
Let's see. I want to see if you can count to 10 in... Oh, what was the language I had in mind? Can you do it in Swahili?
Healy. Let's see. I don't know the difference. Whoa, hang on. Omniglot. Ugh, I want to be an omniglot. So I don't know if these pronunciations are even remotely correct.
Well, that's half the fun.
Oh, I think cardinal versus ordinal numbers. So I think cardinal numbers are like 1, 2, 3. Ordinal numbers are like 1st, 2nd, 3rd.
Oh, okay.
I think. I'm pretty sure that's what that is.
That would make sense.
So the cardinal numbers of Swahili, I will give you 0 to 10. How about that? Sifuri, moja, mbili, tatu, oh goodness, ne, tano, sita, saba, nane, tisa, kumi. I'm assuming that those were nearly, those weren't even close to how they're actually pronounced, but I'm looking at it, I'm looking at a transliteration, which is like the sounds written in English letters.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean...
Yeah. That's as good as I think that's gonna get unless I could listen to them.
Not bad. Not bad.
The number 4 is spelled N-N-E. Ne.
No.
Ne.
Ne.
Ne-ne. Ne-ne-ne. Ne-ne. Ne-ne. Ne-ne.
Ne-ne.
Ka. Ka.
Do-do.
Do-do-do-do.
Ne-ne.
Ne-ne. Ma-na. Yes. Do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do. Have you ever seen the complete works of William Shakespeare reduced?
I've seen the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yes.
Yeah. So the part in a Hamlet where they're doing like the play within a play, and they have two puppets, and they start doing that.
That was so good. I like when they keep doing it, they keep doing Hamlet faster and faster, and finally they decide to do it backwards.
Backwards!
Oh yeah, and be sure to listen for the satanic messages.
Frank Sinatra is God!
or when they're doing Ophelia drowning in reverse, so he drinks the water and then
spits the water out! Ghost. Said, oh. Oob.
Or the first time they're going through it, and the guy is pretending to be the king or whatever, the lady doth protest too much, and he's next to some like 10-year-old kid. Get it? He doesn't get it.
He doesn't get it. It's okay. I'll explain to you when later. That show is so funny.
It is. Or doing Romeo and Juliet, and he goes and like stands on top of the other guy who's like being the narrator and sticks his skirt over his face. The other guy, what are you doing? The balcony scene.
You have this strange idea that all the heroines wear these really ugly wigs and that they vomit on people before they die. It's an interpretation, man.
Or the Othello rap.
Do you know, I think I actually have that whole thing memorized.
No.
Yeah, do you want to hear it?
Oh, do it. Do it.
There once was a brother by the name of Othello. He liked white women and he liked green jello. And a punk named Iago who made himself a menace because he didn't like Othello, the Moor of Venice. And Othello got married to Desdemona, took off for the wars and left her alone. Was a Mona, a Grona, he left her alone. He didn't write a letter and he didn't telephone her. Something like, Desdemona, she was faithful, she was chastity tight, she was the daughter of a duke, she was totally white. And Iago loved Desi like Adonis loved Venus, and Desi loved Othello because he had a big sword. Iago just said, I'm going to shaft them more. Well, how are you going to do it? Tell us. Well, I know his tragic flaws, and he's too damn jealous, need a dupe, a dope, a kind of schmo. So we fought a Trump sucker by the name of Cassio. And then it's something about Desdemona's handkerchief. So Othello got to wondering just maybe if, when he'd been out fighting, commanded an army, are Desi and Cass playing had the salami? Oh, it's salami. Yes! Now Othello gets home and puts a pillow in her face. He kills her and soliloquizes about his disgrace. But there's Amelia at the door, who he met in Act 4, who said, you big dummy, she weren't no whore. She was pure, she was clean, she was virginal too. So why'd you have to go and make her face turn blue? It's true, it's you. Now what you gonna do? And Othello said, damn, this is getting pretty scary. Pulled out his blade and committed Harry Carey. Do that funky Moor thing, white boy. Iago got caught, but he caught... Oh, no, shit. It's, Iago got caught, but he probably copped a plea, loaded up his bags, and moved to Beverly Hills, that is.
Oh, man. That was so good.
It's supposed to have, like, three people, so it flows better with three people going.
Yeah, but it's a lot easier.
Yep. 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 I do have the Othello rap memorized. My goodness.
Nice.